Daf Tesom and Aleph, about a third of the way down. The first word in the line is Ve'ika, and we're up to Toshma. The Gemara is now asking a question on Shmuel. Shmuel holds that Rachuv Eino Kone. Toshma, we have a Brisa, which deals with the case of Metzia, Linyan Kinyan Metzia, and the Brisa indicates clearly that Rachuv is Kone B'Metzia. It says Echad Rachuv in the case of Chamor. One was riding on this donkey in order to be Zocha from Hefker. V'echad tofes moseir. The other one, he too wanted to be Zocha and acquire ownership over this Chamor of Hefker, and he was holding on to the Chevel, to the reins that are tied down to the head of the Chamor, but he wasn't leading the Chamor. He was just holding on to the reins. Is Zekon a Chamor? The Rachuv has successfully achieved a Kinyan, he's acquired ownership over the Chamor, and that itself is a kash on Shmuel. V'zekon Mosera, and the one who's holding on to the reins, he acquires ownership over the reins. We see the reins, the Mosera, as a separate entity, a separate object. Shmamino, we see clearly that Rochav is Kani. That if there's no Manig who's leading the animal, and the Rochav is the only one who's leading the animal in any sort of way, then the Rochav is Kone. And therefore, in a case where there is a Manhig who's leading the animal, the Rochav is riding the animal, in such a case, we should split the animal. Each one should be Zoch in half. And that's the way Rashi Dibramasel Shmamino has it. The Marsha adds that it could have been possible to explain Bipshitus, that the question is on Rabbi Yehuda, who derived from Shmuel that Rachuv in and of itself is not a Kinyan. But Rashi would rather prefer to interpret that the Kasha is based on the similarity to the previous Kasha that we discussed in yesterday's shiur, that we're talking about a case of Rachuv b'makom manhig. And in this case, the Brisa clearly indicates that the Rachuv is Kone, even though there is a Manhig Kenegdo. The Rishonim ask on Rashi, what forced Rashi to say that if the Rachuv is Kone Levado when he's alone, that he will get half of the animal when he's together with the Manhig? Actually, in the Gemara on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara understands that it's very possible that Rochav is Kone, but nevertheless, when he's together with the Manig simultaneously, that would be a suffix whether he's Kone or not. Be that as it may, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara at this point understands that Rochav is Kone. That's the way the Brisa formulates it. And even if there would be a mani kenegdo, the Rochav would at least be zocha in half the animal. And that's a stira to Shmuel. And the Gemara answers that even though Shmuel, as a general rule, holds that Rochav is not kone at all, nevertheless, hachanami, this case, as we said before in one of the ukimtas, is b'manig b'raglov. The Bryce is talking about a situation where the Rochav has wrapped his legs around the animal in such a way that he's molech the animal. He guides the animal, he's a manhig, and that's considered meshicha, and that's why he's kona. And even Shmuel would agree that in a case of manig b'raglov, Rochav is kona. But again, if he was Rochav without being manig b'raglov, then he would not be kona. Ihachi nikni nami Rochav mosera. Why is it that the Brisa establishes the Rochav is only Kone, the animal itself, the Chamor, but not the Mosera, not the reins? If the Meshicha on the Chamor is a full-fledged, guaranteed, valid Meshicha, then that should be operative, it should be effective, even to be Kone the Chevel, even to be Kone the Mosera on the top of the animal. That's what Rashi says here, Dibra Maschil, Nikni. And the reason for that is, says Rashi, Shu Tachshit HaChamor UKichamor Dummy, that the Chevel, this Mosera that's on the top, the head of the Chamor, is considered like a Tachshit to the Chamor. I mean, this reminds us of sugyas in Bamemish Isha Yotzeis and in Masechta Shabbos, that we see that there's something called a tachshit. It's something that's ki'ilu batel to the main object, such that if you are allowed to carry the main object, you're allowed to carry the tachshit as well. Ihachi, the Gemara says, nikni nami rochuv bimoseir. As we said before, Rashi explains that the moseir is considered a tachshit to the animal, and if he's kona the animal, he should be kona the tachshit as well. And the Gemara says that even though the Mosera is tofel to the Chamor itself, and if you're Zocha in the Chamor, you should be Zocha Memela in anything that's part of the Chamor, like the Mosera, which is a Tachshit of the Chamor, but Ema Zekana Chamor v'chatzi Mosera, Zekana Chatzi Mosera. Maybe we should interpret the Brisa in a way that could be reconciled with this principle that the Moser is tofel to the Chamor, and if Rochuv, which is Manik Baraglov, is Kona the Chamor, his kinyan extends even to the Tachshit, even to the Moser. But when the Brisa says Zekana Chamor and Zekana Moser, it doesn't mean that the Rochuv who made a kinyan on a Chamor is completely excluded from the Mosera. He has a kinyan on the Mosera as well. However, he only gets half of the Mosera. And therefore, as far as the Mosera is concerned, we have two people who are simultaneously implementing a Maisa kinyan on the Mosera. On the one hand, the Rachuv and the Chamor, since he's Magn Grago, is Kona the Chamor and the Mosera as well. On the other hand, the one who's lifting the Mosera is also making a kinyan on the Mosera. So we split the Mosera because basically there are two people who are Magbia who are lifting up the Mosera. The Gemara says, Bishleim a Rachuv Kani. I can understand that the Rachuv has acquired half of the Mosera because there's another person who's holding on to the Mosera to Kamagdile Bendas, and that other person's Hagbah is effective for the Rachuv. And this is a case in which two people are lifting an object, a Metzia, an odorless object, together simultaneously, and each one's Hagbah is meaningful and effective for the other one. Ella, but Tofus Mosera, my Kone, the one who's holding on to the Mosera, why is he Kone? After all, the other side of the Mosera, the part that is not in his hand, is actually resting on the head of the behemoth. So the Agbah, the lifting up of this Mosera off the ground, is a result of the animal itself. And you could argue ostensibly that that's not Agbah at all. Or maybe what the Gemara is trying to say is that the other half of the Mosera is not lifted bichlal, it's stationary, it's laying and resting on top of the head of the animal. And in such a case, the din is that in the case of Agbas Hefker, you have to be able to be menatek to lift up and detach the chefetz from its place. Here, he's only be magbia, the one who's carrying, who's holding on to the Mosera, half of the Mosera. Only one side of the Mosera. The other side is actually stationary and resting on the head of the animal. So the Gemara answers, Ema zekon hachamor v'kuloi Mosera v'zekon imashetofus biyodo. That the Rachuv makes a kinyan on the Chamor and the entire Mosera, except that part of the Mosera that's being seized, that's being held in the hand of the one who's holding on to the Mosera, and that which is in his hand, that he was Magbia, he was successful in completely lifting, so he makes a kinyan on that part of Tofus Biyado, the Mosera that's Tofus Biyado. Again, I don't know what it's worth, but maybe you can cut down that strap and sell it as a small strap. So the Gemara says, Hai Mai, what is the din that you're telling me that Agbas Hasheni is not meaningful for the other person. Ma din zeh shata omer shakbas hasheni ene mo'il ali atzmo mo'il avur harachuv. You are telling me that the one who's lifting up the Mesera, the one who's holding on to the Mesera, his hagbah is not meaningful for himself. He's not kona anything beyond mashatofus biyado as far as the Mesera is concerned, but yet it's a meaningful hagbah on behalf of the rachuv. What does that mean? Imtim salomer, even if I grant you, and that's going to be a major machlokish, shemagbiya metzil chavero, kona chavero, that one can lift up a mitzia on behalf of someone else, and the kinyan will be effective on behalf of someone else, which we'll see on Daf Yud is machlokas between Rav Nachman, who rejects this halacha, and Rav Yochanan says that he is kona because migu dinach zochin anafshi zochin amil chavre. But even if I grant you that Rav Yochanan is correct, hani mili heich de kama magbia la le adaiti de chavre. That's only if the magbia has in mind his intention is to make magbia on behalf of his friend. But hi, this fellow who's lifting up the Mosera, Adaita the Deko Magbiale, he's only lifting up the Mosera for his own purposes. He wants to be Kona himself. Is Iu Lokani Lachrini Mikni? It's ineffective for himself. Again, chutz, with the exception of Masha Tofas Biyada, but on the Mosera, the Gufa Mosera itself, it's not meaningful. Is Lachrini Mikni? It could be a meaningful Akbar on behalf of someone else. That doesn't make any sense. Ela Amar of Ashi. So again, even if I hold Magbiya Metzil Chavero Kana Chavero, that's Rabbi Yochanan, that's only because his explicit intention is to be Magbiya on behalf of his friend. But here he's being Magbiya Al Das Atzmo for his own personal kinyan, and it's ineffective, so we're going to say it's effective for someone else. Ela Amar of Ashi. Ze Kana Chamor Ubeis Pageha Vize Kana Masha Tofus Biyada. Vahashta Vashar Lo Kanaloze Veloze. Ravashi makes an emendation here. It's not that the Rachuv is Kona the entire Mosera. That he can't do because his friend's Hagbah is not going to work for him since it doesn't work for himself. But rather what he's Kona is the Chamar and the base Pageha. Means that part that is on the head of the animal and is considered tofel, as we said before, like a tachshit. That part of the chevel, that part of the reins, is considered as if it's attached to the chamor. That's the base pageh. That part is nikneh to the rachuv, insofar as he's doing a kinyan on the chamor, and anything that is attached to the chamor, that is considered tofel to the chamor, that's called base Pageha. Pageha, Rashi says, means Rosha Vilechya. So it's good. That's the part of the reins that's wrapped around the head of the animal. You've seen it perhaps in horses. There's part of the reins that's really around the head of the animal. That part, the Rochav is Kona. And the Sheni, the one who's lifting up the Moser itself, is Kona Mashitofas Biyado. Now, in between is the bulk, the balance of the main part of the reins is lo kona lo zeh velo zeh. The one who's holding on to the Moser is not kona because he never lifted it up. The Moser is laying, is resting on the head of the animal. The rochuv is not kona any part of the Moser because there was no meshicha on the Moser. Tosus here, Dibur Maschil VeHashar, has a discussion about the possibility of applying the principle of Moshech Behema Kana Kelim Shaleh, which we didn't get to yet. In any event, that's the formulation of Ashi. Rabbi Avo Amar Liolam Kiriktani. We should read the Brice in a straightforward way without amending its text. The Rachav is Kona not only, the Rachav is Kona, excuse me, the Chamor. The other one is Kona, the entire Mosera. And now we have to explain why that's so. And the Gemara answers, explain Rabbi Avo, Hoil, the Yochel, and Natka, Lavia, Etzlo. The Chamor is a little bit off the ground, right? It's gavoa. And it would be very easy for the Baal Tofes HaMosera, the one who's holding on to the Mosera, to disconnect the Mosera, the Hevel, from the Chamor. And therefore, when he lifts up the Mosera, it's considered as if he lifted up the entire reins, the entire Mosera. And that's Rabbi Avoh's statement. And again, it's all based on the fact that for Hagbah, you don't actually need a full-fledged Hagbah, but rather all you need is Yachol Inatko Ulavia Etzlo. And we have a similar halach in the case of Get Biyada Umeshicha Biyada, but they were saying something totally different, that since he could pull the get back from her hand, there was no Nesina Venasan Biyada, she doesn't really have a kinyan on the get. Here what we're saying is just the opposite, that even if you didn't make a Maisa Kinyan Akbar on the Cheftza, but nevertheless, since it's Yachal Anatka, that itself should effectuate a Kinyan. The Gemara immediately rejects this. V'ahad Rabbi Avo Berusahi. This cannot be correct. And the reason why it cannot be correct is because he did not lift up the Mosera. And even though it's Yachal Anatka, Rashi says, that's not considered as if he actually was Menatek and he lifted up the Hagbah. There is a potential here, but it was never actualized. Now, if in truth he would be Menatek, then the Kinyan would be meaningful. And that's true even if Eino Mamish Magbio. Okay, what does that mean? If the Hevel is Nishmat La'aretz, let's say, for example, the reins fall onto the ground when he pulls it off the animal's head, but since the Hevel in itself is lifted up more than 3 tfachim from the karka, Tosa says, Dibra Maskel Hoil, that would be meaningful, and that would be effective as a kinyan. But here, he did not actually loosen or disconnect the Mosera from the animal's head, and therefore, there was no Hagbah, and the Gemara proves it, says, Ilo Temach, if you don't agree with me, and you don't want to say that the words, the statement of Rabbi Avoh is a bruce, is an incorrect statement. If you want to accept what he says, then in the case of two people who found the talis, in the case of Shehi Munachas, Chetzia Al Gabi Karkav, Chetzia Al Gabi Omud, what would be if you had a talis that was... that one side of the talus, one end of the talus, was resting on the ground. The other part of the talus, the other end of the talus, was, let's say, tied around the pole, and it was lifted off the ground. If simultaneously one would lift up the half of the talus from the karka, the other person at the same time lifted up the other half of the talis from the amud, is hachinami the kama koni basil okoni? Would you say the first person who lifted up half the talis from the karka, he was kona, the sheni was not kona? And why was the rishon kona? Because hoel v'yochel enateik ulahavi etzlo, he could easily disconnect the talis from the amud and pull it off. And the Tana, the Mishnah, didn't make that distinction. From the Stimas Lashon HaMishnah, it certainly indicates that that's not correct. And the Gemara brings this case where Chetzia is on the Amud, and the other guy lifts up the Chetzia V'gavi Karka. So let's be more precise about it. One person will call Ruvain, lift that up, half of the talus from the karka. Shimon, the other fellow, lifted up the other half of the talus that was lifted, that was resting on the amud. It seems clearly from the Gemara's case that if the other person did not lift up his half of the talus, then it would be meaningful that Biyada Rishon Lenatka, that the only one who's actually lifting the talus, he's the only one around, he's the only one who's actively involved in lifting the talus, and he could pull the talus away, he would be zocher, And what does it mean he would be zocheh and it would be effective? He would be zocheh in that part of the talis that was mugba mikocho below ha'amud, that was lifted by the direct, as a direct result of his hagbav, his energy force on lifting the talis without the amud. Meaning, imagine if the amud wasn't there, he would still have lifted up part of the talis based on the nature and the extent of his hagbah, and that would be a valid kinyan. Now, Tosus Divrei HaMashkil De'i says that k'tas kosher minoli shelo yachlok Rabbi Avo af bezeh, meaning you're assuming that the Mishnah, by leaving out, by omitting this case, is implying that in such a case you would not apply the ruling of Rabbi Avo of Yochel Linatko Lavia Etzlo. Tosus says, I don't understand, why is that so poshut? Maybe Rabbi Avo would argue even on this point. Rashi says, Lo Matzinu Tana Shecholik Bazeh. It seems that Rashi's intention is to say that the Mishnah Daf Beis, by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah formulates the scenario as Shnayim Omer Manimat Zasiya, the Mishnah doesn't go into detail about how he found it. It would seem that there's no difference here, whether it was the two of them lifted up the talus together, or one lifted up the talus from the karka, the other lifted up the other half of the talus, the other end of the talus from the omud. Those distinctions don't appear in the Mishnah at all. And the premise is that in all cases, the hagbah was done between the two of them, they're both konechetzi, and therefore we say yachloku. And we don't apply the principle that the Rishon, since he could have been magbia, he could have been menatek me'al gabi amu, therefore he's kona the entire talis. Tashma, here's another raya from a brisa that Shmuel is not correct, but rather that Rochav does qualify as a kinyan in a mitzia. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Rochav b'sadeh Umanik Beir Kone. Let's go backwards here. Manig is Kone even in the city, and how much more so in the Sada. That's Sada's upgrade. Rochav, on the other hand, cannot be Kone in the city. He's only Kone in the Sada, but nevertheless, in the Sada, Rochav is Kone, and that's a question on Shmuel. Shmuel says the Rochav is not Kone, period. And the Gemara answers, Hachanami v'manig v'ragav, could always use the same ukimta as we did in the previous brisos, that this brisa is referring to a case where the rochav is wrapping his legs around the animal, and when he bangs the animal with his legs, he guides the animal and causes it to move. That is a meshicha. Hachi hainu manig. Why is the brisa talking about rochav and manig as two separate categories? At the end of the day, Rochav is, in fact, a situation, a case of Manig, because he's Manig Baraglov. And Gemara answers, Shrei Gavni Manug, these are just two permutations, two methods of being Manig the animal. One is leading the animal, one is kicking the animal, or hitting the animal with his feet. Ihochi, but if you're saying that Rochav is also Manig, is Rochav Be'ir my time alokani? Obviously, the Bryce is assuming a fundamental difference between Rochav and Manig. Otherwise, to the same extent that Manig applies umetum all over, whether it's the Sud or even in the city, so too Rochav should apply all over, even in the city. If Rochav is Manig Baraglov, then it's Meshicha Mamish, a Meshicha Gemura which operates all over, even in the city. And again, what we want to point out here, as we've said in the past, is that Rochav Levad, if he was only a Rochav, a Rochav, then for sure it would be understood that he's not Kona in the city, because in the Sada, is the animal moves because of his Rechiva, but in the city, you know, it's really clogged up in the city, and therefore the animal can't move all around in the city, it's going to be, there are going to be so many different obstacle courses in its way, and therefore, you cannot say that as a result of the rechiva, the animal is actually moving. The animal may be moving physically, but that's machmas atzma, not because of the rachuv. But in the case of rochev baraglov, it's not crystal clear why that shouldn't be a kinyan even in the city. That's the Gemara's kasha. Again, even though in the classical case of rochev, you could say, I understand why he's not kona in the ear. That's rochev without rochev baraglov, because in the city, the animal's not moving because of his rechiva. However, if he's rochev baraglov, even in the city, he's banging the animal with his feet. He certainly is molech, he's moshek the animal. Omar Rav Kahana says that the reason why rochev is not kona in the city, lefish ein darkon shel b'nei adam lirkov be'ir. And a kinyan is not effective if it's not generally the way people would use or treat an object, whatever that object is. In order for a kinyan to be a valid maisa, kinyan has to indicate use and bailus over the object. This is not the normal way of using an animal by riding it in the city. Rashi interprets that it's not the normal way of doing it. The last Rashi on the page, Mishum Tznius. In other words, a person should behave with a certain element, a certain module of modesty. It's like only a big shot will try to boast and brag about his greatness by riding horses through the city. So that's not considered the Derech B'nei Adam, and Rechiva Be'ir is not a kinyan. Now, what are we saying over here? Are we saying something about the nature of behavior? What about, let's say, for example, the Torah would prohibit you from doing a rechiv in a certain situation. Or for that matter, any kind of kinyan that you do in a way that's against the Torah law. Is Omalei Rav Ashi, Rav Kana, Lemiatek, Bia Arniki B'Shabbos, Shein Darkon, Shalbanom, like Bia Arniki B'Shabbos, Hachinami Lokoni. Shall we say that if you made a kinyan akbar, by lifting up a purse full of money, which is asur, to lift because of muktzah, that makes it ein derech b'nei adam la soso b'chefetzeh. Is that enough to make it into a situation similar to rochev be'ir and invalidate the kinyan? That doesn't make any sense, says the Gemara. Ela mai di oved oved v'kani. Now keep in mind, when the Gemara assumes that it's crystal clear and certain beyond doubt that lifting up hagbah of an arniki on Shabbos would be a valid kinyan, despite the fact that he violates the isur muktzah, the Gemara is not talking about halachas that aren't related to muktzah. Then the Gemara is not talking about halachas that aren't related to kinyanim. You know, we're talking about whether it's darko b'kach or not darko b'kach as an effective kinyan. It could be that such an action of Hagbas Arniki B'Shabbos might be an invalid kinyan for another reason, and that's because of the Isur Hagbah that he violates. And that's, of course, the sugya at the beginning of Temura of Abayin and Rav Bari Yovin Mahani or Lo Mahani. We may, in fact, invalidate the Maisa Kinyan, and there's a long discussion about this in the Achronim, for other reasons, because whenever you violate an Aveira, you can't benefit from that Aveira with a valid kinyan, according to one Shita. But that's not relevant to ours. So we're talking about Hilchas Kinyonim and only Hilchas Kinyonim. What constitutes and qualifies as a Kinyon? And the Gemara thinks that if it's Ein Darka B'Kach, meaning people won't do it for whatever reason, either because of Midos, in the case of Tznius, and not to be a Balgaiva, but rather to be a Derech Hanova, or because of the Isur Muktzah. Such a Maisa is not a Maisa Darka B'Kach, and it cannot qualify as a Kinyon. Hachinami. So the Gemara says, "My di oved." I'm sorry, Ella. This is part of the Gemara's kasha. Ella, my di oved oved v'kani is hachinami. My di oved oved v'kani. Even if a person goes ahead, the Gemara says, and we see this from Arniki B'Shabbos that Agvos Arniki B'Shabbos is certainly a valid kinyan. It is irrelevant whether it's dark or bekach. If he went ahead and did it, then by implementing this kinyan, he was kona. If the kinyan has the power of kinyan, it's irrelevant whether it's derech bnei yodim lasoso or ain derech bnei yodim lasoso. And therefore, mighty ovid v'kani. And applying that principle to the case that we're dealing with here of writing of rechiva be'ir, even if it's ain't dark of a kach, but nevertheless, mighty ovid v'kani. And Rav Kahana, in this answer, is being mechadish a chiddush, and that is that even in a way which is derech lasa matzav mitzad atzma ein derech mishum tznius, that should not be effective, and therefore it's difficult from arnaki, even though it might be derech to lift up an arnaki in general, but on Shabbos it's not a derech to do so because of muktza. So again, if it wasn't a case of manig beraglov, then it would have been possible to explain that ein derech klal lios rochav be'ir, and therefore he's not kone. But in the case of manig beraglov, it's very difficult to say that. You can only say that he violates the minig of tznius. And therefore, Rav Ashi feels compelled to explain Rabbi Elezer in a different sort of way. Ela, the mekachu mem karaskin, and Rabbi Elezer is not talking about mitzia. When Rabbi Elezer made his statement that rochu be'ir is not kone, he wasn't talking about a mitzia. In the case of mitzia, rochu be'ir is kone. We don't care if it's dark or bekach, it's tznius, it's not tznius. But we're talking about a case of transferring ownership from a mocher to a lokeach, from a machne to a kone, diomar le, and what did the machne, the mocher, say to the kone? He said, kni kiderech shbnei yodim konim. He told him to make the kinyan the way normally people would do the action to make the kinyan. And since, according to Rabbi Elezer, it's not derech bnei yodim lirchov be'ir, therefore he did not fulfill the mandate of the mocher, the machne, and there's no kinyan against the will of the machne. In mitzia, or let's say the regular mekach, where he didn't say to him, kni kiderech bnei yodim, kiderech shbnei yodim koneh, then El Chinami, Rabbi Elezer would agree that rochav be'ir is kone. But in any event, we see clearly that rechiva is a kinyan, and this brisa contradicts Shmuel. The Gemara now, on the top of Daf Tes, Omid Beis, brings another possible scenario in which rechiva be'ir would be considered derech b'nei Adam. The irishus harabim hu, if it's a place where the public has access, is kani, then rechiva would be meaningful, because in such a place it's derech lirkov and not lahanig. And the reason for that is that if he's going to be manig the animal, then it could be that people who pass by and the streets are crowded with people, they are going to go and be mafsik between him and the animal. And therefore, the only way of getting the animal to where you have to get it is through rechiva. Another example where rechiva is darko bekach, even in a city, the e adam chashavu kani, a person who doesn't care about anivus, he's the parrots himself, he can be kona berechiva, because to be mining an animal with his hands, that's like soiling his hands. That's ein lefi chodo. That's below his dignity. And what he does is in the big cities, the big city slickers in the urban areas, he's darko berchiva. Or, for example, a third case, v'isha hi kanya, she can be kona berchiva. And why is that? A woman is not manig biyada behema. That's not considered a female kind of thing. It requires a great deal of strength, to take this big burly animal and lead it and and pull it. She doesn't have the physical power and prowess to do it unless she's a professional wrestler. She's not a weightlifter. And therefore, what she does in order to make sure that the animal gets to where it has to get is she rides the animal. Ve'i inish zila, Izilahu, and a person who's not so mechubad, he comes to the lower echelons, is Kani, he'll be Konim Rechiva, because that's Darko Lirchov, even in the presence of other people, he's not Mizbayesh, and therefore for him it's Darko Berechiva, and he's Konim Berechiva. Now again, the Gemara discussed a little bit earlier that there's a kinyan on the Chamor, in the case of Rechiva Manig Baraglov, that is effective even as far as the Mosera is concerned. And I indicated before that this might be relevant to the famous Sugya of Kana Kalim Shalgabi Behema, that when a person is Zoche and he does a Meshicha to acquire ownership on a Behema, that Meshicha is meaningful and effective even for utensils that are laying, that are attached to the body of the animal on which he did a Meshicha. Is Boy Rabbi Lazar HaOmel Chaver Meshoch Be Mezu Liknos Kalim Shalleh Mau? A person tells a potential lokeach, in other words, the seller says to the buyer, do a meshich on this animal in order to acquire ownership on the, not on the animal, but really for the purpose of being coated the kalim on the animal. In other words, the meshich on the animal is only a means to an end to achieve a meshich on the kalim that is sitting on the animal's back, but the mocher has no intention of selling the animal per se. Now, first, the Gemara makes a little bit of an amendation to the language that was formulated here in the Boy Rabbi Lazar. It cannot be that he said to his friend, do a Meshicha Liknos Kalim Shavana, because Liknos is Mi Amale Kni. It's not enough to say, you know, you go ahead and make the Kenyan. He has to declare that I will be Makna it to him. And the Mashmos, the meaning, the simple meaning of Liknos, means that you, the Lokeach, have to have kavana to be kona it. That doesn't necessarily mean, and Iker Chosam and Sefer, that I, the mocher, have kavana to be makna to you. So why should that kinyan be meaningful at all? So Gemara says we have to amend the language of Boy Rabbi Lazar, Ella Mishok Beimazu Ukni Kalim Shalal Mao. Meaning he used the word kni, not liknos, but kni, meaning I, as a makna, have intention to transfer ownership over this, over these kalim to you. Mima hanya would work even though the meshicha de behema laknuye kalim, although even though he only does a meshicha not on the kalim but on the animal, and the purpose of that kinyan meshicha is for the kalim that are laying, that are resting on the animal's back, or is it not meaningful? He's got to do a direct maisa kinyan on the kalim. The kalim is the chefza nikne. Now, the famous case of Kni Kalim would be the case of Meshicha on a kupa. A kupa is some sort of a chest, or a closet, you know, like a receptacle, and it has Kalim in it. In that case, if a person says to his friend, Meshoch Kupa, certainly his friend could be Kone anything that's inside the kupa. The behema, when you do a meshicha on it, that's not considered as if he was moshik the kalim, because basically he did a meshicha on the animal. Inadvertently, so to speak, or indirectly, he causes that the animal should move, and that moves the kalim on top of the animal. And that's where the suffix lies here in Rabbi Lazar, whether or not the moving of the animal through the act of meshicha on the animal, if that's considered an act that relates and can be validated as a meshicha on the kalim. In the case of kupa, it's the kupa and the kalim together that certainly is pulling, and that would certainly be an effective valid kinyan. Ayin tosis dibri amaskil meshok, against a large tosis, I was only pulling out the beginning part, isolating one part of Tosfos. In any event, the Rashba is of the opinion that if he says to his friend to be Moshek the Kalim, and his friend was Moshek the Behemah in order to make a Meshich on the Kalim, does he move the animal? But clearly the mandate, the command that he got from the Machna was to move the Kalim. That would be equivalent, says the Rashba, to Kupa, which has in the Kalim. Here's a case, our sugya is addressing a case where the machna said to the kona to make a meshicha on the animal, not on the kalim. He was machna that the maisa kinyan would be affected effectuated on the animal, the Mashiach, on the behemoth, and his purpose was for the Kalim. But if he told to make Mashiach on the Kalim, and the Kona made a Mashiach on the animal in order to be Kona the Kalim, that would certainly be similar to the case of Kupa, but it certainly would be Kona the Kalim. The Gemara says that from the words of Rabbi Lazar and his Safek, and touching or hinting at the possibility that if a person is not Zochen Kona the Behema, he's not going to be Kona the Kalim, it's clear, the implication is almost explicit, that if he would be Zochen in the Behema and the Kalim, that would certainly be effective. So again, if a person is told to make a keen on the behemah and to be kona on the kona thereby not just the behemah but also the kalim, that would definitely be effective. And the implication is that now the behemah will serve as a chatzer to be kona the kalim that are in the chatzer. Amar Rava, he's not happy about that. E amar le kni behemo kni kalim mi kani kalim. Would it be effective if he was makdim both the behemah and the kalim? After all, chatzim alechesi v'chatzim aleches lo kana. The most fundamental requirement of a kinyan chatzer is that it be a chatzer mishtameres, which means that the chatzer is stable, it's secure, it holds on to that, you know, wraps itself around and protects that which is inside the chatzer. But here, we have a classical case of what's called a chatzim aleches, which is antithetical to a chatzer mishtameres. The chatzer is on the move. It's an animate object. How you can get a hold of it? The animal is not stationary, and therefore, how can you be kona the kalim inside or on the back of the animal? And the animal is moving, is a movable object. And the Gemara later on Daf Yud is going to have a whole sugya about where the chutz is kona midin yad or midin shlichus. And the Rashba asks, well, if chutz in fact is midin shlichus, why shouldn't the chutz of aleches be kona? Just like a shliach is movable, is on the move, so too the chutz that's on the move should be no worse than a shliach. And the Rashba's answer is very fundamental, that a shliach is holich l'daita shal mashaleach. You know, any kind of moving is in order to secure the object on behalf of the mashaleach. That's what his commission, his agency was. But in the case of behemah, the behemah moves on its own volition, decides where it's going to go. That's antithetical to a chatzim hamishtameres. V'chi temak sha'omda, and if you'll tell me that even after the animal moved and he was zochen the behemah through din mashicha, that's called achiras yad v'regel, so he was zochen the animal, now the animal is stationary, and for that moment that it's stationary, it can serve as a chatzah hamishtameres, and therefore he's zochen the kelim. The Gemara says, no, that cannot be true. V'ha isn't the rule. Kol she'ilu mahalik lo kana omid v'yoshev lo kana. For example, an eved who's a mahalik is not kona as a chutz for the bala eved, even if the eved is stationary, he's in one place. There is a machlokas rishonim with regard to an eved kafus. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in general, the rule that Rava is referring to is an absolute rule that we look at the chutzah, not in terms of what it is at this second in time, holding on to the kelim, but rather what it is in its very essence. It's a moving chutzah. You know, an eved is moving, a behemah is on the move. Right now, it might be taking a rest. So the Gemara answers, v'hilcha sabba kafusa. The only way of explaining why Rabbi Lazar presumes, and that was the assumption that he didn't even have to spell out, that you could be kona the behema and the kalim, meaning the behema could serve as a kinyan chutz. That's only bekfusa if the animal is tied up and therefore the animal doesn't have the ability to walk, to move. That's called a chutz hamishtameres. And in such a case, it was pshita, it was absolutely simple to Rabbi Lazar that when he's zoche in the behema, he's also zoche in the kalim. Now, in the case of an eved, it's not clear from the Rishonim. I mean, there's no one simple answer to the question from the perspective of Rishonim of whether an eved, if it's kafus, can serve as a kinyan chatzer. It could be that you need both kafus and yashen. And this depends upon sugyas in Gittin, in Perakas Zorek, when can the Baal, under what circumstances, place a get into the hands of an Eved, and that would be an effective in us on Biyoda, the Eved is a Chatzah on behalf of the Isha, is it a Chatzah Mishtameres Midaito? And the Gemara seems to assume you need both Kofus and Yashin, but that's in the case of an Eved because he has Das. In the case of Behema that doesn't have Das, all you need is Kofus, and that makes the Behema into a Chatzah Mishtameres rather than a Chatzah Hamaleches. Now, we made reference earlier to this long Tosfos Dibur Maaschil Mishoch, and another point in this Tosfos is that Lechora, Tosfos points out, he could have had a suffek in the case where he was Kona the Behem as well, whether the Mashicha is effective for the Kalim. Why? Because Ein Lo, you should not say that when he makes a Kinyan on the Behema, certainly is Zochin the Kalim Yidin Chatzer, because there's no chisaron of chatzam aleches, because if that be the case, even now, he should be zochin the kelim yidin chatzer, because the mocher is giving him, or lending him, if you will, the behema, to be kone as a chatzer, that those kelim in the behema. In other words, even in the case of Rabbi Lazar, it should be pshita that the kinyan should be effective vis-a-vis the kelim, because the behema should be able to serve, again, if it's kfusa, as a kinyan chatzer for the kalim. Even though he wasn't makne him, the behema, he, the mocher, the makne, owns the behema and continues to own the behema. But nevertheless, he certainly is renting out the behema as a temporary chatzer on behalf of the kona, to be kona kalim. So Tosfos answers that if the mocher says mishoch, right, that was the case that we had, mishoch behemazu ukni kelim shalle. The word mishoch indicates that he's not being mashil the behema, he's not renting him out the behema, or lending him the behema as a kinyan chatzer, to serve as a kinyan chatzer. He's just allowing him to use the behema as a maisa mashicha on the kelim. The kinyan is really on the kelim. Direct. It's not a kinyan on the behema for the purpose of being zochel the kelim, because his language was mishok behema zu. I give you permission to make a mashicha on the behema ukni kelim aleha, so that mashicha will serve as a kinyan on the kelim. But it's not that the behema is making the kinyan, i.e., serving as a chatzer. In any event, the bottom line of this Gemara is that if a person is mocked at both Behema and Kalim, then the Kinyan of Mashiach on the Behema is effective on the Kalim as well, if and when the Behema is a Kfusa, and therefore it could serve as a Chatzer. But if, on the other hand, in the Rabbi Lazar's Suffolk, he, the mocher, had no intention of being makne the behema, he just wants to be makne the kelim, in such a case, the Gemara ends up with a suffek and ibai delo ifshita. There's no final answer and decision in that case. Now the Rishonim and the Muki Yosef discuss that study a suffek based on what we discussed earlier on Daftes Amin Aleph, about Mashicha Shalok Kedarka, that perhaps the yesod of the Suffolk of Rabbi Lazar here is that in the case of dragging the Behema Kfusa, is that considered a Kedarka of a Mashicha or not? And truth be told, that the point of the Muki Yosef is valid even with regard to the case of being makne both the behema and the kelim. If Rabbi Lazar, in the case of the implicit case of being makne the behema and the kelim, is talking about kfusa, and that was the simple case where pshita was undeniable that the kinyan on the kelim would be effective through chatzah because the animal is a kfusa, that's a little bit strange, because who says that dragging an animal kfusa is considered a valid Mashiach L'chor. It's totally in what we discussed earlier about Rochuv in a city, which is not Kedarka. Here also, it's not Kedarka to drag a behemoth, as the Muki Yosef says, when the behemoth is tied, you know, bound to, hands and feet. But perhaps, as the Shita Mekubetza says, the case of Kfusa becomes like a case of the Kupa. You remember that we discussed that if you had a Kupa, and you made a Mashiach on the Kupa, you could be Kona the Kelim Olea. And language of the Shita is, Bekfusa Moel Liknos Bidin Chatzik Mo Kupa. Again, the Shita Mekubetza is talking about his analogy between a Behema Kfusa and a Kupa as far as the Kalim are concerned. I mean, he's not really addressing the question of the Kinyan Mashiach on the Behema being affected to be coded the Behema Kfusa by dragging the Behema. That itself still remains a very, you know, an outstanding valid point as to whether or not that's considered Kedarka. In any event, there's a machlokas rishonim. What do we do aloch lamaisa in the case where he's mak the kalim through the behema? He says mishoch behema zu kni kalim shel leah. The rush is of the opinion that since la locha it's lo ifshita, it's a suffake. Therefore ein motzi and mama miad ha bailim b'suffake, and that would mean that the kalim are still in the under the ownership of the mocher, because if the lokech wants to prove and establish his kinyan on the kelim, is hamotzi mechavel of araya. The Ran, on the other hand, is of a different opinion. According to the Ran, since he did a meshicha bershus, therefore he becomes the muchsak, meaning, once the mocher gives the lokeach the green light to do this mashicha, that already gives the lokeach a status of a muchsak. And therefore, after the lokeach makes a mashicha on the behema, now the kelim are under his dominion, it's the mocher who has the burden of proof to deduce evidence that we paskin that the kinyan on the kelim is not effective, and in suffolk he would not be able to take the successfully be victorious in vindicating his kelim, redeeming his kelim from the yad of the lokeach. Now again, you have to ask yourself questions about kol d'olam gavar and he talk off motzi miyado lo motzi miyado. All those issues would certainly come and hound us here at this point. Now, as far as the Chatzim Aleches, Omer Lei, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breid, Rav Yeshua, L'Rava, Elamiyata, if you are correct that a Chatzim Aleches is not Kona, if that be the case, what would be the din in the case of a Sfina? Hayamahalch b'Sfina, the man is rowing his boat, v'kavtzu dogim v'nafu l'toch ha-Sfina, and fish jump out of the sea onto his boat. Is Hachinami Chatzim Aleches Lokani? Would you insist, Rava, that here too, in this case, the Svina cannot serve as a Chatz on behalf of the Baal Svina to be Kone the Dogim? Because after all, Svina is a Chatzim Aleches. Omolei, Rava said, wait, let's differentiate. Hold on, you're going too far. Svina, Menach, Naicha, the Sfina per se is not a Chatzam Aleches. It has no power. To make something into a Chatzam Aleches, it has to have mobility as a power, as an attribute in its very nefesh, so to speak. Here it's the water that's carrying the Sfina. And as a result of movement to the water, the Sfina itself is in motion, but obviously the boat has no locomotion. Again, what would he say in the case of a motorboat? I do not know. I'm inclined to think that would be a Chatzam Aleches. It would not be Kona. But in the case of a sailboat, where the wind is and the water is pushing the boat, that's called a Chatzam Sheinim Aleches, and he is Kona. Omalei Ravina Ravashi Elamei Ata Hoysom Aleches B'Shazaram V'Zorik L'Get L'Sochek L'Sochal Sochinami D'Lo Megarsha. What if a woman is walking through the Rishus HaRabim and She's holding on to a kalsa. Kalsa is a kind of a sal, a basket, which could serve as her chotzer. Or cheka is also in her bosom. That's also called a chotzer. Now she's moving, but the sal, the kalsa, is not moving. So what do we say about this? How do we define this? Is this a case of a chotzer maleches because she's carrying the kalsa and moving with it? Or chinami lo megarsha? Or malei Ravashi responded to Ravina in the same way that Rav had responded to his questioners, namely kalsa meinach naicha. The kalsa has no inner mobility, has no power to move. It is an inanimate object. Ve'ihi dekamazgi mitusa. She's carrying the object by moving it, moving this sal as she walks, but the sal itself can still function as a chotzer sheinim aleches, and therefore she'd be zocha in the get, she'd be megureshes as soon as the get reaches her sal, as a result of the nesin, of course, of the baal. We move on to the next Mishnah, here on Daf Tes Amid Beis, Hayir Rochev al Gabi Behema V'Ras HaMetzia. A man is riding on a behema, and he sees on the ground a metzia, that's an ownerless object that's laying on the ground. Omer l'chavri turns to his friend who's walking on the ground, and he says to him, T'noli, I'd like you to lift up the object on my behalf. I cannot get off my animal right now, I'm riding. Do it on my behalf. Nitola, and his friend, ostensibly it looks like he did what he was told to do, and he lifted it up on behalf of the Rachuv, but you know what? Before he gave it to the Rachuv and delivered it, Omari declares, Ani zachisi ba, I want it for myself, and the Mishnah Paskin in such a case, zacha ba. In other words, the Mishnah is predicated on the assumption, which we'll soon see as a machlokis in the Gemara, of Hamagmiel Metzil Chavero Lo Kana Chavero. Again, unless you want to assume that from the get-go, the Magbia had no intention of lifting it on behalf of the Rochev. That's one way of going. But if we assume that the Magbia had in mind the Rochev, nevertheless, that Kinyan is not Chal in the case of Metzia. And all this is based on the principle of Einonim Tofes Lebalchov V'Bokav Shechav L'Acherim. Everyone has rights to this Metzia. And if you're going to be Magbia the Metzia on behalf of someone, you're really undermining the rights of anyone else. That's called Chav L'Acherim. That's like the case of someone who grabs the Nechasim of the Lova on behalf of one particular Malvin, when there's so many other Malvin that would like to confiscate that very same property. So the Mishnah here is built on the premise, the halachic principle of Magbia Metzila Chavero Lo Kana Chavero. And now the very moment that he, the Magbia, decides to change his heart and take it for himself, he was Zocher. Oh, but imi shenasnofi, if the Magbi already delivered the Metzia, the object, into the hands of the Rochev, now Omar, the Magbi declares, Ani zachisba tchila, what I had in mind initially is to pick it up on my own behalf, lo amar klum. And why is that? Why does the object belong to the Rochev in this case? And the answer is that even if the Magbi was Zocher, now he gave it to the Rochev, we're going to assuming that by delivering in the Rochev, that is a matana. Now, it doesn't mean that every time you bring something to someone else, it's an automatic matana nakna. But in this case, it's quite clear that that was the ultimate goal, because the Rochev indeed was very eager to acquire ownership over this metzia, to the extent to which he revealed that in so many words, and he verbalized it. Now, when the Magbia delivers the Metzia, the this ownerless object, into the hands of the Rochev, it's clearly being done as a Matana. If, in fact, the Magbia never intended to be Zocha in it, then in such a case, since Magbia Metzia L'Chaver Lo Kana Chaver, the object is still Hefker. And in that be the case, the Rochev was Kone Midin Hefker. He's no slouch. He's not inferior to anyone else. And that's what Rashi Dibra Maskel Lo points out. The Gemara now wants to analyze the Mishnah from the perspective of analogy to the laws of Peah. Tanan Hossam, we have a Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Peah. Misha Liket Es HaPeah V'Omar. Now again, we don't know who this malakit is he an ashir or an ani? But in any event, he picks up the payer and he makes a declaration. Harezu leplonia ani. I have in mind to be zoch on behalf of plonia ani. This seems to be the classical case of magvim and tzil chadvero. Is Rabbi Elezer Omer zochalo? The ani was zoch in this payer because a person could be zoche on behalf of another person in payer. The Chachamim Omer, Chachamim disagree and say lo zoche, because although Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that a person can be zoch and pay up for someone else, the Chacham disagree, they hold a person cannot be zoch and pay up for someone else, and therefore, yitnenu li'oni animtza rishon. We will deliver this payah into the hands of the first oni, kolakorim zochu, comes and collects this payah. Omar ulam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi machlokes, the machlokes shim Rabbi Lezim, the Chachamim is only in the case of me ashir li'oni. If the person who picked up the payah is an Oshir, which means he doesn't have the migu of Zochi l'nafshe, right? He cannot be Zoche in the payah for himself. He's an Oshir. An Oshir is not allowed to acquire ownership on the payah. And now he wants to be malaketed on behalf of his friend who's an Ani. Is Rabbi Leza says no. I'm sorry, the Chacham say no, but Rabbi Leza says, you know what? There's a migu here. In other words, the Ashir, the Malakit, has Shaychus to this payah. I mean, how so? What Shaychus does the Ashir have to the payah? Is Migu di boy mafkir nechase v'avi oni v'chazile ashtanami chazile? Rabbi Eliezer surprises us by revealing and presenting a whole new Migu. What is this Migu? The Ashir is not really Mufka from Zechia in Peah. Right now he's a wealthy guy. But he can unwealthy his wealth by just announcing that I hereby declare that all my possessions, all my stocks and my bonds and my real estate, everything is ownerless, is Hefker. At that moment he becomes an Ani. In other words, as a gavra, he is really shayach to payah. Right now, he's holding on to possessions which make it impossible, which block him from being zoch in the payah. So we can apply this principle of migu. He, in fact, this asher, could make himself into an ani and be zoch in the payah. Now, says Rabbi Eliezer, we apply a more universal migu. Once we applied one migu and we've made the gavra, the asher, into a gavra who's roy to be zoch on behalf of himself, well, now he could be zoch on behalf of another person, another ani. Migu de zoch l'nafshi zoch inam l'chavre. And in effect, Rabbi Eliezer is integrating these two migus into one entity, which means that since the ashir could be zoch for himself, if, right, therefore he could be zoch for someone else. That someone else is really just an extension of his yad. He's operating in this lakita on behalf of his friend, whoever his friend is. The Rabbanan Savri, however, the Chacham hold Chad Migu Amrin and Tre Migu Lo Amrin, you have no right, we will not accept, we reject this idea of integrating the two Migus into one. Each Migu is a Migu unto itself, it depends on the other Migu. And we're willing to accept one Migu, but a double Migu, that's already too far-fetched. In other words, we could say that if a person could be Zoch for himself, he could be Zoch for his friend. Migu de zoch l'nafshi zoch inam l'chavre. In the case of an ani who is malakit for another ani, as Rashi says, di ramaskel chad. But to go ahead and say now another migu, that why is it migu de zoch l'nafshi? How does the asher have a possibility of being zoche on his own behalf through a migu that he could have been mafker as nechas? That's a whole new story. Avol mi'ani li'ani diviakol zochlo. Even the chacham will agree that one migu is sufficient. The migu is zochinafshi zochinam lechavre, but two migus we're not going to admit, we're not going to validate. Again, the Gemara now is going to embark on a whole analysis as to whether or not we should really accept even one migu, and perhaps the machlokus between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and the Chachamim is not a case of mishalikin es apeah. He was an asher, but he was an ani, And can one ani be malakeit and be zoch on behalf of another ani? Do we accept even one miku? But right now, in Ula's frame of reference, it was crystal clear and universally accepted as a davar pasha that one migu, meaning an ani on behalf of another ani, is migu zochin nafshi zochin am lechavri, certainly is operative and valid. The question is, can we add and piggyback a second migu on top of this and say that how is it zochel nafshe? How is there a possibility for this oshir to be zochel nafshe? And that's the migu diboy mafkir nechasei vavi oni. So again, without the migu, one oni could not be zochel for another oni. But even with that migu, in the case of an oshir, you would not have the ability of applying that migu because the oshir does not have migu de zochel nafshi, can't be zochel for himself, and an oshir is excluded from zechia bepeah. And again, all this, Rabosai, as we said at the outset, is based on halacha, which the Gemara is going to formulate a little bit later on, of tofes of alchov v'bok v'shechav l'achirim, in the case where someone was zochel in the chasim of the lov on behalf of the malvim, when there are other malvim, there are other noshim. And the reason why Chav L'Chem Lo Kana is because he doesn't have that power to undermine the rights of somebody else. He can't be Zocha on behalf of one person at the expense and the deficit of someone else, of another person. But in a place where he could be Zocha for himself, then he has the Koach and of being zocha in this object, right? So, for example, a particular malva could be zocha in the nechasim of the lova that to as a backup for his chov, even though other malvim, you know, would have wanted to do the same thing. He's undermining other malvim, but that's because he has the koach bi atzmo bedover, and therefore we don't care about achav lachirim. But if he doesn't have the koch bi atzmo, for example, a third party who's not a malv, it comes along to be zocha for one particular malv, his best friend, that doesn't work. That's not a zechia that's effective. And here too, in the case of an ashir, who's the third party here, why does he have the right to choose one ani over another ani? He's undermining the situation, the zchuyos of all the other aniim to be zocha in this peah. Unless you say that really, in effect, this Asher has rights to be Zolch and be Atzmo. How is that so? Because he could make himself, with a snap of a finger, into an Ani. So for that we need a second Migu. And as we said before, just on a simple level, it seems that whereas Rabbi Eliezer is willing to combine these two Migus, because they're really one and the same, they ultimately lead to the same goal, that the Malakeit, even though he's an usher, he has be atzmo koach bedavar, I mean koach lizkos, like one of the malvim vis-a-vis the nechasim of the lova vis-a-vis the other malvim. And in order to arrive at establishing the power of the koach atzmi of this usher, we have to assume two migus, but it's all one and the same. The chacham on the other hand is saying, you know what? Right now he's an usher. An usher is a chal shev. You know, that's his status. You're going to have to introduce some sort of a migu here. And how could you use this migu to imagine that he has rights to be zocha and a koch atzmi bedover? Amalei Rav Nachman li'ula v'lema mar me'oni lani machlokas. I mean, it doesn't say in any explicit way in the Mishnah in Peah that the machlokas Rav Lozar, Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim revolves around a case of an ashir. Maybe it's the case of an ani who picks up the pay on behalf of another ani. And the machlokas is whether we have and we recognize one single migu of migu de zochli nafshi. Rabbi Leza holds migu de zochli nafshi, one ani could be zochin himself in the pay, therefore he could be zoch on behalf of another ani. He has the koch atzmi of the sechia. He's not like a third party of Tofes of Alchov, but rather he's like the malv himself, one of the malvim. Whereas the Chachom hold that an Ani cannot be Zocha for someone else, he can only be Zocha in the payer for himself, because in the Zchia for an Ani Acher, he's being Tofis B'Alchov Mokom Shechav L'Acherim, he's undermining the possibility, the potential of other Aniim to be Zocha. And the Chachomim hold that the Migu, the Zocha, the Nafshe, only is meaningful in a case where the person is lifting up hefker in order to be zocher both on behalf of himself and behalf of someone else, like Shnayim Shigbiyu Mitziyah B'Yachad, where the Mishnah established at the beginning of the Masechta that if they're modim, if they both agree that they lifted up the talis simultaneously, then both are kone, each one gets half of the talis. And the Gemara already explained back on Daf Ches that according to Rava, the Mishnah was coming to be Mechadish that Magbiya Metziah lo ulechaver ke'echad is since he was Zochah for himself, he's also Zochah for his friend. But to say that someone could be Zochah and a Metziah for his friend, even if he's not being Zochah for himself, simply based on the fact that he could have potentially been Zochah for himself, that the Gemara is not willing to say right now. And the Shita of Rav Nachman is therefore that the entire issue of Migu D'Zochi Nafshi, when one person is not befall being Zocha at all, can he be Zocha on behalf of his friend? That is the subject of the Machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And now Rav Nachman invokes a Raya. He says, Doha Mitziah Kol Aniyim Etzla. Everybody is considered an ani as far as the mitziah is concerned. In other words, there's no one who's excluded from being zocha in a mitziah that's ownerless. Utnani, yet the Mishnah says, "Are you rochev al gabi behema? The roas hamitziah v'yomer lechaver tnoli nitola v'yomer ani zochisi ba zocha ba." That the person who lifts it up on behalf of the rochev is kona for himself, but not kona for the rochev. You see that even though his friend, ostensibly, this is how the Gemara understood it, his friend who was walking on the ground had in mind to pick up this mitziah on behalf of the rochev, as he was requested to do by his good buddy, the rochev, nevertheless, the rochev is not kone. Is that makes sense if we say that the very question about migu d'zoch l'nafshe, zoch l'chavre, is a machlokes, yamet bishleima ani li'ani machlokes, that Rabbi Eliezer accepts one migu in the case of ani liani in peya, Chachamim reject even one single minu in an ani and shaliket liani, and here we're turning to Daf Yud Amud Aleph, is then masnisin mani rabbonani. Then I'm comfortable to say that our Mishnah that says that the rochev is completely excluded and the mahalech on the ground, the magbia, could not be magbia on behalf of the rochev. The rochev is not kona. That's because the Chacham reject even a single migu, meaning the Chacham reject the principle of migu zochi nafshe, zochi nami l'chavi, ala i'amet b'yoshe v'yoshe machlokas. But according to your understanding, Ula, that the principle of migu zochi nafshe, zochi nami l'chavi, in the case of ani lani, is absolutely universally accepted, unanimously, then if that be the case, and the only argument is about Asher Leoni, we have a double migu, but Ani Leoni Divrei Hakol Zochalo is Hamani, who's the author of Mishnah? Lo Rabbanon v'lo Rabbi Eliezer. Again, unless the Mishnah is the third Shita, but right now we know of two Shitos. Our Mishnah says that the Rochev is not Kona. Obviously, we don't apply and we don't activate the principle of migu. Well, you just told me, Ula, that everybody, all the Tanoim, agree to the principle of migu. The only problem is, in the case of an Asher, you have to introduce a second migu. Amalei, Ula says, Masisin di Omar Tchila. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Magbia did not say that he was Magbia the Metziah on behalf of his friend. His claim was that he was Magbia from the get-go for himself. That's when the Mishnah says we trust him, we believe him, and he is Zochah the Metziah. He meaning the Magbia. But Enochinami, if we would have reason to believe in a situation where the Magbia clearly was acting on behalf of the Rochev, and he was Magbia this Metziah on behalf of the Rochev, that Enochinami, there would be no machlokas about that. It would be clear cut that kinyan would be affected because migu d'zochi nafshi zochi nami l'chavre. And hoki nami mistabra, that's very logical that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the magbia never had in mind his friend from the get-go, the Ketani Sefer. Read the Sefer of the Mishnah. It says clearly, in Mishnah Nasna lo, If after he, the Magbir, delivered the object to into the hands of the Rochev Omer, he declares, Anizach Hisibah Tchila, I had in mind to be Zocha first, and I'm not interested in giving any gifts out gratis here to the Rochev, is Lomer Klum. And the object belongs to the Rochev. And the Gemara says, Tchila B'Seifa Lomeli. The word Tchila doesn't seem to have any meaning. It's totally out of place in the Seifa. Pshita. It's true even without the Tchila. Afagav Delo Omer Tchila. Even if the Magbia did not say that he was Zocha in this Mitziah before he gave it over to the Rochev, is Tchila Ka'omer, that was his intention. I mean, obviously that's what his claim is. Anizachisiba. So why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add the word Tchila? It seems to be a superfluous word, El Alav. Sometimes if you don't need a word in the Sefer, it's coming to reveal something about the Reisha. And the Anizachisiba Tchila means from the Shas Hagbah, and that applies both to the Reisha and the Sefer. Kamash Malon, that Reisha, Diyomer Tchila, and the Reisha also, the Taina of the Magbiyah is that he, from the get-go, had in mind to be Magbiyah for himself. Aniza Chisba Tchila means, L'shem Atzmi, Hitkavanti Le'Hagbiyah. And therefore, it's not a case of Magbiyah Metzil Chavero. Had it been Magbiyah Metzil Chavero, Chinami, the Rochev would be Zolcha, because everybody agrees, as we said before, and this is the sheet of Ula, that, this is the sheet, let's get the names right, sorry, of Rav Nachman, that everybody agrees that Migu the Zochi Lenafshe, Zochi Nami, Lechavri, if it's one Migu. What for either, what about Rav Nachman, what's he going to do with the word Tchila? And he says, Tana Seifa Legui Reisha, Beseifa, the Omar Tchila, is Reisha, the Lo Omar Tchila. Fakert, there was a deliberate addition in the Reisha, in the Seifa, the word Tchila, in order to tell you, Dafka, in the Reisha, it wasn't the case of Tchila, but rather the Kavana of the Magbir was to be Zoch on behalf of the Rochev, and even so, that Zachia is not meaningful, because Magbir Metzil Chavero, Lo Kana Chavero. And again, the reason for that is, as we said over and over again, is because it's chav lacherim, it's like tofes lebalchov, the makum shechav lachrine, and therefore the migu is meaningless. Okay, Rabbi, I will stop here.